With today's modern communication of brevity, such as Twitter and texting, the attention span has dramatically dwindled among us. This, of course, is particularly evident in trying to communicate through the media of lectures and sermons. I just wonder how the gospel writer John would have responded to this in his telling of the stories of Jesus. Today's gospel lesson is an example of how lengthy John was in telling the stories of Jesus. The length and detail of his account gives indication, though, that he was a primary source. In other words, he actually was there and heard and saw. And not just a person who was relating stories from a secondary source. It has all the earmarks of personally being present with Jesus. This account is most realistic and believable, for it depicts actual human nature and conditions. In its length and comprehensiveness, like last Sunday, it again gives enough fodder for many sermons. In order to do it justice, it should be covered by a series of sermons. But I will limit my presentation to what I consider to be a central theme. This theme is carried throughout this story. It is the account of sin and how sin affects our lives and how man has tried to justify or explain its existence. In this story, Jesus and his disciples happened to meet a man, a long-time beggar, who was known to be blind from birth. He never had the experience of seeing the light of day, but he had lived his life in total darkness. He experienced life through sound, touch, and smell, without the gift of being able to see a smiling face, or the beauty of a sunset, or the experience of seeing the vastness of the universe on a starry night. He had none of this experience. It must be noted that there was no hope, though, for such a blindness, and this remains pretty much true today. This makes this story all the more compelling. It was commonly believed that disabilities, sickness, and tragedies, such as epitomized in this man, were the result of sin. Therefore, the disciples asked a very normal question. Jesus, Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents that he was born blind? Who sinned? It had to be a sin involved. You know, we may think of this as a very strange question, but to think about it, it was not very strange. Even today, there are those who believe that disease and suffering are the result of sin, and that Satan has taken control of the diseased and the infirmed and the victimized person. Strange notion? Think I'm wrong? Just reflect back. After Katrina, which killed and victimized thousands, there were those who said this happened because of what? The sin of the city of New Orleans. Do you remember that? But furthermore, the implications of this question so often lead many to ask, why did God allow this to happen? In other words, if God let this happen, it must have been because he is punishing a person for sins committed. Tragically, this has led many to deny any suffering or illness because they think others may see it as a punishment by God. This happens to today. This has led many in the past and the present not to seek medical attention. Must have been something I did. God's punishing me. But you know, Jesus refused to accept this notion. The man's blindness was not because of sin. It was not because of the sin which they thought could be committed by a fetus. It was not because of the sin inherited from his parents or ancestry. A very common notion at the time. No, sin was involved in Jesus' eyes. Wasn't sin at all. Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. In other words, the handicap of this man in the eyes of others was so God's revelations may be known through his mighty works, that the healing power through Jesus. You know, it's interesting to note that many who experience what is viewed as handicaps, such as this blind man experienced, find that God gives them the power not only to accept the reality of their handicap, but also to realize that God gives them the power to overcome their handicap. They are able to experience a fullness of life in ways far beyond that which others may know or realize. One only has to look at the lives of Helen Keller, Stevie Wonder, Andre Bocelli, Ludwig Beethoven, and so on. Just this week, I saw a video clip on the internet of a young boy who was born with just one leg, who managed to play baseball in an organized league. He was a catcher. And it was amazing to watch how he played by hopping to the bases. Amazing. He overcame. No longer did he see himself as being handicapped. Now, sin is not the reason for these adversities, for it was then such abnormalities would be the norm. If sin were the basis of adversities, then such abnormalities would be the norm. We would all be in that boat. Some would say that this is all about original sin. the sin of Adam and Eve. The serpent and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They say, sin, man's choice of evil over good, is causing all of the suffering. After all, it was through Adam and Eve's sin, original sin, that mankind was cast out of paradise, where there was no sin and suffering. Cast out into the darkness of pain and suffering. There is a little doubt that mankind causes much of his own suffering. But is that suffering God's condemnation? Or is that God's will for us? Is it God's will for us to experience the handicaps of life? The sufferings in life? I don't think so. Or else why did he send his son to us? The answer is clear. I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Therefore, the healing of this blind man was to vividly show us that God has something else in mind for us if we so desire. He has something more than the dead-end street of condemnation and revenge for sin. He extends to us the gift of an abundant life. This abundant life is to live under his grace, his love, and his forgiveness. This abundant life gives us the strength and courage to face all adversities. We can choose to overcome the darkness of suffering in our lives by opening our blinded eyes to the true light of the world. And Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. But there are those who choose not to open their eyes and thus remain blind to God's answer to good and evil. Those, they choose to remain blind to God's grace and dwell upon adversity, sin, and damnation. Now this was seen in the Pharisees' response to the miraculous healing of the blind man. They tried every way possible to change or deny the truth of what happened. This man was never blind. He was a look-alike. No good such as a miraculous healing could ever come from a sinner such as Jesus. Of course, Jesus, there was sin in their eyes because he healed on the Sabbath of all things. In order to try to prove Jesus was a fraud, they repeatedly tried to find holes in the man's testimony of his healing. They tried to get others, such as his family and friends, to deny that the man was ever blind. They threatened and coerced, but got exactly nowhere. You see, they just could not accept the truth and tried to deny the truth. With each attempt, the Pharisees went deeper and deeper into the darkness of being blind to the truth. They kept bringing themselves face to face with their self-condemnation of sin. By placing themselves as judge and jury about sin, they in fact succumbed to sin and thus became blind to the real salvation of mankind. They made their own healing and salvation out of reach. On the other hand, Jesus came into the world to heal those who realize their affliction, those who know their sin, their blindness, but desire to see the light of God's love. Thereby they regain the hope and promise of God's eternal love and presence, which is the real paradise. This is what Jesus meant by saying, I came into the world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. Well, the Pharisees thought they saw, but they were blind. If we think that we have found our paradise in our own created earthly kingdoms, blinded by our false sense of what is good and evil, then we leave ourselves open to our own judgment and blindness to the truth. This is a self-inflicted trip on a dead-end street leading to eternal darkness. But if we come to know our blindness, we come to know our sin, we repent when confronted with the light of Jesus, then the good of the tree of knowledge begins to overtake evil. This is when truth begins to lead our lives. There is little doubt that in today's society, we need to take heed to recognize that there is truth to be found. The Garden of Eden's tree of knowledge then is seen as the way to repentance and recognition of the joy of being able to overcome evil with the light of truth. Through this repentance is when we can begin to see the light of good in our lives. We will truly have our sight restored and be able to see our way to walk in the life and light of Christ. We will truly be healed. The choice becomes a personal one. Living in the darkness of being blinded to the truth of God's grace, or the life which leads to the light of God's eternal love. We need not live a life of condemnation, for we are free and we are forgiven through God's eternal love. Therein lies the healing, and therein lies the truth, which we so desperately need. Amen.